Saturday night. That means it's time for the Don Tony Show.
The wait all week long is finally over. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and much more. The Don Tony Show.
And now, your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
All right. Happy morning to all of you out there in the United States. For those abroad, good afternoon. I hope everybody's having a wonderful weekend. It is February 11th, 2023. This is your latest episode of the Don Tony Show. I want to thank you very much for joining me. Today we will be talking a little bit about SmackDown, what went down yesterday. Somebody sent in a super chat moments ago regarding the Usos and Canada, so we will be addressing that. A little breaking news that journalists know how to use a calculator. Unbelievable. That's going to be a funny one. We're also going to talk a little bit about AEW. A little follow-up to Wednesday's discussion about the blading. And I've come to a conclusion that I honestly think each and every one of you will agree with me about. And we're also going to have some fun. We're going to go back, you know, a little less than 20 years ago when WWE for WrestleMania 21 did all those movie parodies. You know what's interesting about it? Like, they can't get in trouble because it was a parody, you know, but if we kind of like parody the parody, you know, we could still, you know, get in trouble because we're using their copyrighted footage. But so we got a whole bunch of images and screenshots. We're going to reminisce the movie parodies they did back then. I'm very curious. Some of you in the comment section. Now, look, if you wait days and then we start hearing breaking news about it, then it's kind of like, eh. But I'm very curious what movies you would like to see WWE parody for WrestleMania 39. Now, let me give you a little bit of, it's not really a rumor killer, but let's just make this, you know, clear. People that are writing, my sources tell me that WWE is taping parodies for WrestleMania 39. That was planned 2 years ago. They didn't just decide now that they were going to be doing parodies. We don't know who was involved. I think some of the obvious names you're going to see. But, you know, it's funny looking back all those years. And you know what? When we do look back later on, I want everybody who's live in the chat room to tell me which one was your favorite. Don't post it now, because some of these you may have totally forgotten over the years. Later on, you tell me who was your favorite and which one was your least favorite. And if everyone watching on the replay, post it in the comment section. I'm curious if you're going to go with what I'm going with. And it may surprise you which one is my favorite of all time. And to me, there was an MVP for those parodies as well. There was one wrestler that every time I see the segment, I start laughing. I just start laughing. So good morning, everyone. All right, the big news coming out of SmackDown is that the Usos are still your WWE SmackDown Tag Team Champions. I think we should now start to get used to the likely scenario that they will keep those SmackDown tag titles and the Raw tag titles. They will be your unified tag team champions going into WrestleMania. Now I'm starting to have this thought in my mind, because look, you look at the tag team division, especially in SmackDown. The Viking Raiders have not caught on. They have to do these movie-type vignettes in order to try to make a statement. You know, they come out and they attack Drew and Sheamus. That's not good enough. You know, now yesterday we have Valhalla and more, and I'm not criticizing her or the Viking Raiders, but you have these movie like productions like, oh, how's it about you just fucking go into Titantron? We're going to be there next week to beat your asses. Obviously not going to curse, but you know, they have to do these dramatic. It reminds me of the Xia Li vignettes. Xia Li in the last 20 years has had the greatest hype coming to, you know, in NXT and SmackDown. She had two sets of packages that were produced insanely well, and honestly, it led to nothing. Let's be honest. I'm a fan of Xia Li. It's led to nothing. I wonder if WWE looks back at all of that money and time they invested on those torture videos, the graphics and the drawing. I don't think Jerry Lawler drew those cartoons. I don't think they were like, hey, Jerry, since you're home doing nothing, could you draw some cartoons for us? I wonder if they look back and they're like, man, we spent a fucking boatload of time and money. But hey, whose fault is it that Boa didn't work? Whose fault is it that WWE doesn't know how to use Xia Li? You know, let's be honest. But, you know, yesterday, a lot of seed planting. A lot of seed planting. And now I'm starting to get this mindset that the Bloodline goes into WrestleMania with all the gold. The Bloodline leaves WrestleMania with none of the gold. They go in with all the belts. They leave with none of the belts. Total collapse, total failure on their part. Not saying it's going to happen. That's the vibe that I'm starting to get. Because you look at that tag team division on SmackDown especially. I think Braun Strowman and Ricochet, which is a makeshift tag team, was the best shot at them winning tag titles. It was the best shot. It was the easiest scenario when you think about it. Jey Uso doesn't show up. Jimmy has to fight it alone. Jimmy puts up a valiant effort. Why Solo Sikoa couldn't be there? Was he gambling? Because they were a Mohegan Sun. Like, where's Adam Pearce? Where was Adam Pearce? Jay, you know, if you don't have a partner, then we got to forfeit this match. Wait, didn't they just do that not too long ago? Didn't they just do that with Judgment Day when they got a number one contender spot? So no Adam Pearce yesterday, you know, making that call. Yes, Jey Uso ultimately came down from the crowd. Babyface, you know, reaction. That was interesting yesterday. The crowd was really behind the Usos. And it was a little weird because Jimmy Uso especially was beating the shit out of Sami Zayn. You know, like he was part of the Bloodline at the end of the last Premium Live event, you know, for the Royal Rumble. And they were cheering the Usos big time yesterday. Braun and Ricochet put up a good effort, but they lost. So now I'm starting to think that they're going to go into Mania with all the gold and they're going to come out of Mania with none of the gold. Now, I kind of feel bad that, but then again, I appreciate, you know, some of you do it to support the shows. And believe me, I tell you, it all goes to good use. You know, my waistline is not getting bigger because of your super chats. But I want to thank Sticky Fingers Frank for the $10 spot. Is it true that Jimmy Uso still cannot travel into Canada? Your question is acknowledged. Yes. That is why Paul Heyman told Jimmy Uso yesterday, Roman wants you to stay home next week. Because sometimes you see things on TV that you don't see live in the building, you know, little seed planting. But that is a cover because Jimmy Uso, with his DUI issues, cannot travel into Canada. I tell you, I'm a little bit surprised by that. But then again, his violations, you know, especially when you have multiple, it gets very, very serious. Now, there's some argument online that Jey Uso could apply for a one-day, you know, visit. And yes, I'm sure WWE could pull a couple of strings, expedite it. It probably can get done. But as of now, Jey Uso will not be in Canada, which is interesting. Because of, you know, Solo Sikoa and the Matt Riddle factor, which you got to keep in the back of your mind. If Solo Sikoa is the only person in the camp for Roman Reigns at Elimination Chamber, you know, that may end up having Matt Riddle show. We'll see. We'll see. But, you know, so, yeah, so Frank, Usos as of right now, no SmackDown next week, no Elimination Chamber next week. By the way, Elimination Chamber is only a week away. I mean, didn't we just get through the Royal Rumble? It's 1 week away. So, yes, we will do a recap next week. That one, I think, we'll do live because we're going to have a lot to dissect from there. I don't think it's going to be a hard show to review, so we will do one live right after Elimination Chamber ends. We will do a predictions contest for all the Elite Channel members on YouTube. In fact, we'll probably, you know, maybe we'll do something where we'll open it up to all the channel members, but maybe Elite Channel members get two votes, you know, two shots instead of one. Hey, you know, they contribute a little more. They deserve a little more, right? So I'll figure it out. I'll figure it out. And Patreon, absolutely. So the Usos retained yesterday, and let me tell you something. You know, to see Sami Zayn show up, and I'm not throwing shade on Sami Zayn. For all of you out there that truly feel Sami Zayn should main event WrestleMania against Roman Reigns instead of Cody Rhodes, you will not admit it publicly, probably, and that's your right. But if you take Sami Zayn's confrontation with Paul Heyman yesterday on SmackDown and you put it side by side with Cody Rhodes' confrontation with Paul Heyman on Raw, it's not even fucking close. It's not even fucking close. You realize the depth of the storyline. And yes, Sami was in the bloodline and we have some beautiful moments. I mean, you know, I bought a bunch of merch. We had posters. I loved it. I loved it. But this is episodic television. It's not, you know, oh, we need a feel-good moment and everything's got to be cake and ice cream. It's got to progress. It's got to go in different directions. And again, everybody seems to be leaving out Kevin Owens with all of this. Kevin Owens is a major part of this storyline. But if you really look at Cody and Paul and Sami and Paul, it's not even close. Sami Zayn, yeah, main eventing Elimination Chamber in his hometown, in Montreal. He is going to beat the living shit out of Roman Reigns. He's going to have the crowd going nuts for him. In the end, he will not prevail, but he's going to still main event WrestleMania. It'll be for the tag titles. It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. But, you know, you got to really pay attention. And yeah, they're not big deals. Even if they bring it up next week, they bring it up a couple of weeks from now. You know, if you remember the trial of Sami Zayn, let's be honest. Some of the examples as to why Sami Zayn should have been found guilty was stupid. You know, like simply because he's sitting on a cage and he goes like this. And Paul Heyman's like, what do you want to be, a dangerous alliance? The NWO? Like, come on. Did he do anything to threaten the bloodline? Did he look at Roman Reigns and go like this for life? And then when Roman Reigns turns around, he goes, fuck you, fuck you. He didn't do any of that. So the examples were stupid. This might be an example of being stupid. Yesterday, I don't know if you noticed it. Yesterday, Jimmy Uso's in the back, and they show him trying to get Jay on the phone. And Paul Heyman's like, did you get in touch with your brother? Nah, man, keeps going to voicemail. Nah, man. Come on, call me back. Come on, Oos, call me back. Bro, call me back. Did you see all that yesterday? Did you notice something that happened later on in the night? Paul Heyman was with Jimmy Uso. And Jimmy Uso said something like, why didn't you call me? You know, and Paul Heyman's like, there's no reception back here. Was Jimmy Uso really calling his brother? I know. Don't get mad at the messenger. It's kind of like tiny, not a big deal. But that could end up being something later on. If there was no phone reception, how was Jimmy Uso calling over and over and over? Then again, if we want to be scumbags, if you and I want to be scumbags, you know, old Jimmy Uso's got to say, well, Paul, you got AT&T, I got Verizon. My tower's right fucking outside. AT&T, they're back at the fucking, by the church, 18 miles away. See, that's how I turn around and be scumbag. Because it is true. I had to switch my phone service because at my parents' house in Rockaway, the cell phone towers for Verizon are horrible. AT&T is 1,000 times stronger. So if you really want to ruin that storyline, if they do that confrontation, hey, Jimmy, just say, What do they use? What's the one that those dumb commercials with What's the phone service they use? That little cartoon character that's like with Charlotte that you just want to step on and have it splat like one of those slugs. You ever step on a slug in the summertime with just, you know, you walk outside to get the paper and you don't put shoes and socks on? Like, I'm just going to go outside and get the paper and you inadvertently like step on a slug. Like, what the fuck did I just step on? Cricket. Yeah. All Jimmy's going to say, hey, Paul, I got Cricket Wireless. Hun, everybody should have Cricket Wire. They could turn that into a commercial. But yeah, so little seed planting. And by the way, when Paul Heyman told him yesterday, you know, giving him the warning, hey, we want you to stay home. We want you to stay home. You know, because, you know, sometimes you see things on TV that you don't see otherwise at home. All right? But I love this. Look at Paul Heyman's look in the background. That's like the look, like you just he. I'm telling you, man, he is a fucking MVP, man. I am so happy that he has not gotten burned out as far as pro wrestling goes. And you remember how we used to really get annoyed? Remember how we used to really get annoyed about Paul Heyman not pairing up with Brock Lesnar anymore? I mean, honestly, it has gotten so freaking good with Paul Heyman and the Bloodline. If you said to me right now, DT, right now, you could have Paul Heyman align with either Brock Lesnar or the Bloodline. You know, my choice would be the Bloodline. Brock Lesnar also. Everybody's taking notice. Brock Lesnar now loves to talk. You don't want to shut up. And that Southern draw, we talked about it on Monday. A little bit really hard in the accent this week. So I don't think Brock Lesnar really needs Paul Heyman at the present time. Paul Heyman's awesome, man. Appreciate him. I mean, you know, I know yesterday, yeah, Sami Zayn acknowledging, you know, Jey Uso. That probably will be flashed on the TV. That'll probably be shown to the tribal chief next week. But, yeah, I appreciate Paul Heyman because I don't know how many years left he'll be on television. You know, I'm not saying, you know, anything morbid. I'm just saying really appreciate some of the people that entertain you right now because time goes like this, man. It's kind of mind-boggling when you realize that, you know, this storyline is going on over 2 years in a lot of cases. So, but Brock Lesnar, man, that's why when Brock Lesnar returned, remember last year and it led to the SummerSlam match with Roman Reigns? You had people livid on social media. We don't want need this fucking guy back. I mean, you look at it and you're like, come on, man. You serious? So someone else made a return yesterday. And we had it in a preview for the synopsis. Ronda Rousey, she made a return. Ended up her and Shayna Baszler beating up Natalya. You know, it is what it is. I like Natalya. She is probably the one of the most important people in the locker room for the women. I mean, she is a locker room leader. And her career is obviously starting to wind down. But, you know... My shout out and appreciation to everyone out there who read even the lowest of the low of websites, because some website posted that, oh, WWE's considering Shayna Baszler and Ronda Rousey versus Dakota Kai and Io Sky for the tag titles at WrestleMania. So for everyone out there that said, no, DT, I have an idea. I think that Rousey and Shayna should take on Dakota Kai and Io Sky for the tag titles. Yeah, I saw that garbage low-rent website, too. By the way, oh, I can't wait to do the calculator. Look, my friends, I'm not kidding. Look, we have the calculator ready to go. Breaking news, everyone. Breaking news. Just to show you, like, how stupid these sites are. We're going to have fun with that calculator. We're going to have that calculator going. But first of all, let's be honest, Damage Control has been criticized by a boatload of people out there saying they just don't feel it. Sky and Kai, it's just something not working there. They can't stand Ronda Rousey. Hashtag fire Ronda Rousey was trending for like 3 weeks not too long ago. Shayna Baszler, most of us like, but a lot of people feel like, so you want that tag match? Are you saying it because you want that tag match or you just want to be able to write the tweet, told you, I was right. I was right. I think people are more concerned about being right than actually what. I'll throw you a little sausage out there. And I came straight out yesterday and said it's sausage. And I think it could happen. And I think it may happen. I think we may get Shayna Baszler versus Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania 39. Because yesterday, when Shayna Baszler came out there after Natty called her a Ronda Rousey wannabe, and Shayna says, you know, I'm sick and tired of being called a Ronda Rousey wannabe, and then Ronda Rousey comes out and they have that little tease of a stare down. I think that's seed planting. I think that could be brought up again later on where Shayna Baszler makes a remark in jest to someone about stop, you know, I'm not a Ronda Rousey wannabe. I could, you know, I'm better than Ronda Rousey. Something like that. And then Ronda Rousey hears that. Oh, yeah. Maybe a fight pit. Maybe the return of the fight pit. The fight pit with Seth Rollins and Matt Riddle was pretty damn good. That fight pit was good. So I'm throwing a little sausage out there. Shayna Baszler versus Ronda Rousey with maybe some MMA tie into it. Would they do straight up MMA? I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that because, first of all, there's a boatload of training that you have to do. You can't just wake up the next day and say, you know, I feel like doing a little MMA today. You know, you don't do that. You know, so they would have to, and not only that, you know, if Ronda Rousey beat the fuck out of Shayna Baszler, or if Shayna Baszler beat the fuck out of Ronda Rousey, you know, you don't know how that turns as far as their value on television. Now, WWE would never let it get to that point, you know, and the wrestlers are smart enough to know that they have to pull back, that they have to be ultra careful. So I think a fight pit probably would make more sense because you could incorporate some wrestling moves out of it. But I'm throwing a little sausage out there. Rousey versus Baszler. Because let me tell you something. If you all ate the sausage that I have been putting up since August of last year, you would have more rolls than me. You'd have more rolls than a bakery right now. You have more chins than a Chinese restaurant. So let's see. It's an idea. I think throwing that little comment out yesterday, for no reason at all, you know, I think that's going to be brought up again. We will see what happens. So, SmackDown yesterday, Drew McIntyre and Sheamus over Hit Row. Hit Row got kind of like buried yesterday. I think they're going to go back to NXT. Sorry. I just have that feeling, NXT. Lacey Evans over Carmen Harris. I don't know who she is. The Usos retain the tag titles over Braun Strowman and Ricochet. Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez over Chelsea Green and Sonya Deville. Chelsea Green shows up. She's like, I had a problem with the Raw manager. Are you the SmackDown manager? I thought that was kind of funny. You know, people didn't understand when I said this 2 weeks ago, but I think it's becoming clearer and clearer now. Chelsea Green is acting more like what Carmella used to be. You know, when Carmella had Reggie and, you know, everything's got to be prim and proper. This is not Karen territory. You know what I mean? Karen territory is where you do rude things to, like, make. I was going to show you a video a couple of weeks ago. Maybe I'll show it on Monday. You know, remember Ted DiBiase with the basketball? Trolling the little kid? Remember that? Well, there's a video online of a woman who was spraying with a hose, the a parking lot. And she was clearing the parking lot because a little kid was drawing with chalk. And Karen showed up and stopped defaming this parking lot and started spraying it. And the little kid's crying hysterical. And this big fat Karen is just like spraying it anyway. And the mother's like filming it and all that. That's a Karen, you know, and that's stuff that Chelsea Green should be doing. Not necessarily like, you know, like making kids cry, but there's a big difference between what a Karen is and what a conceited, you know, real housewife of whatever, you know, Rhode Island bitch is, a rich bitch wannabe. So we got a little Shayna Baszler super shout out here from La Nike Jaggers. La Nike Jaggers. Shout out to you, my friend. Thank you for the 10 spot. He says, I feel like Baszler was completely stalled for way too long. If they can make her the monster she was and actually make her a threat again, she could get a decent run out of her. Yeah, I think so. I think Shayna Baszler versus Charlotte Flair, a legit feud, not, you know, because they faced each other before. I think that would be great. Her and Ronda Rousey, I got news for you, man. I think this gives me vibes of, you know, the clique fighting each other back in the day. You know, and you'd have, like, Shawn Michaels going up against Razor, or Razor going up against 1-2-3 Kid, or, you know, Kevin Nash. Go, you know, sometimes, you look at the Usos with Sami Zayn. Sometimes your closest friends, those are the ones you want to work with more than anything else. I think Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler would absolutely love to feud with each other. I think they would make sure, not saying that they wouldn't do it for others, I think they would amp it up tenfold to make sure that each one of them looks spectacular. And yeah, Shayna Baszler is the one that put Natty out of commission. And for some reason, you know, can we all agree that it almost feels like Shayna Baszler's peak might have been with her and Nia Jax? I mean, not just the tag team, not just the difference in personalities, but even those freaking TikTok videos. Remember the one when Nia Jax is dancing and everything, and she was doing it, I think, with Charlotte, and then Shayna Baszler walks by, and she starts going like this. You know, like, it brought out a little bit of a personality with her. I think Shayna, with all due respect, her WWE peak might have been with Nia Jax. So, but let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. But, yeah, I absolutely – listen, you could – I know people won't want this. I wouldn't do it right now. But down the line, you could always bring Shayna back to NXT and let her, you know, be the dominant force for quite some time. Problem right now is that with Mandy Rose gone, with Toxic Attraction split, the women's division in NXT is the most even – that I can remember. Seriously, you don't have your Io Skies and Dakota Kai's there anymore. You don't have, you know, the Ember Moons there anymore. You don't have the women's division in NXT is so balanced right now that almost anybody, if Tiffany Stratton beat Roxanne Perez, it wouldn't be a shock. You know what I mean? If Sol Ruka, yeah, maybe a little shocked because she's still new, but you don't have that one person that would just squash everybody. That's why I would not put Shayna Baszler back in NXT right now. But if that roster was a little bit different, or if some of these women were, you know, ready for the next level, might be much, much different. Much different. I'm telling you, man, I hope people do see that, you know, how balanced that. And now listen. Balanced doesn't necessarily mean spectacular. You know, they're still learning, but balanced means is that you could have 10 women and you say, okay, you know, who should be the next women's champion? You know, or who shouldn't be the next women's champion? It's not as easy to figure out or to come up with an answer. It's a lot easier to say who you want next because you pick your favorite. But if you say who you don't want, you know, it's not as easy as you think. So, yeah, Tiffany Stratton, I'm telling you. She would not get votes, but if I think we're going to still do the Blackheart Year-End Awards. If we do, I'm definitely going to put her in contention for Most Improved of 2022. If we do a women's one and a men's, I think she definitely should be in the running of winning Most Improved Women's Wrestler of 2022. You know, I was arguing with someone the other day, and someone said Jade Cargill's Most Improved. And I said, why? Because she's 50-0. If you look at Jade Cargill's matches from a year ago compared to now, they're not much different. And that's not her fault. Jade Cargill is set up in the ring to be dominant. You know, almost like, you know, hit the Jaded out of nowhere and match is over. You know, it's a little bit different with Tiffany Stratton and her matches have to go longer. Chill Dude is asking me, do I think Jay White to WWE is likely now since he's done with New Japan? I'm not sure, man. You know, we talked about it with the Royal Rumble, all those places that were making the rumors that Jay White was going to be in the Royal Rumble. And it was nonsense. And, you know, I didn't want him in the Royal Rumble. not that Jay White is not, you know, the possible star. It's just that, you know, there's a very, 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 very tiny group of people online that really, really are high on Jay White. And this is not the, if he would have debuted at the Royal Rumble, it would not have been the AJ Styles moment. When his name popped up on the screen and AJ Styles came out and walked and everybody was fucking popping and the crowd, you know, was just ecstatic. That's not happening with Jay White. You think the WWE Universe in droves, Jay White, ah! No, they would just probably be very like, oh yeah, that Japan guy. You know, that's, unfortunately, that's what it is. He's not become a major name in the United States. You know, it's that. So I think if WWE would assign him, maybe you put him in NXT for a little while. I know that sounds a little ridiculous, but the only reason why I say that is get your WWE fans used to him. You know, get him familiar with the WWE fans. Even though NXT only gets 600,000-700,000 viewers, that doesn't mean that people who don't watch NXT don't look at clips on social media. You know, people see moves, people see this. I mean, you look, like 800,000 people saw Tiffany Stratton's moonsault on a social media clip. Probably not 800,000, but maybe like 400,000, and some people watched it twice. The point is, or maybe somebody just forgot to shut the page, went shopping, came back, and it played like 800 times on their computer. But, you know, you get a lot of people that would get familiar with his work in WWE. Then you promote him to the main roster. You know, if he comes out, listen, I'm an AEW fan. I have no problem with Excalibur and some of the others. But when somebody from Japan shows up, like Aussie Open, and they're like screaming at the top of their lungs, Aussie Open! I'm like, come on. Fucking 90% of the audience, when they hear Aussie Open, they think it's a tennis tournament. Come on. Stop acting like everybody in the fucking world is excited and knows who they are. You know, Josh Woods is going to take on Mark Briscoe on Dynamite. Yeah, it's fun. Mark Briscoe on TV now is great. We talked about that last Sunday that we had that feeling that Warner Media is cool with Mark Briscoe now. But, you know, in the end, you know, you think people in droves, Josh Woods, come on. The only thing that impresses me about Josh Woods that makes me, like, look is his fucking teeth. You know, it's all Sterling, Mark Sterling crap. You know, it's to get a win for Mark Briscoe. So, all right. Dream 101 is asking me, thank you for the two-spot dream. Why don't I go to wrestling shows? I do go on occasion. The problem is I'm here. I'm working. I got two elderly parents that are not in the greatest health, just got married. You know, there's a lot of little things going on. I wanted to go to Mohegan Sun yesterday. You have no idea. We were seriously considering fucking just going down there and spending a weekend there. But, you know, we're going the week after WrestleMania. And, you know, I got to put, like, money aside. I don't have, like, money. I got $50,000 in debt, you know, from the wedding and other stuff. So, you know, it's, and the indie shows, you know, if some of my friends are on the shows, I would go. But if it's just a regular indie show and a lot of the names I'm really not interested in, then I don't go. But, you know, I've gone to tons of shows over the years. But, you know, it depends. But if my friends are on it, and not only that, if my friends said to me, hey, DT, why don't you come down? All right, then I go. You know, I've had a few people like, oh, yeah, when we come down, you know, you got to come down. You got to, and then I hear the events coming next month and no calls. So, all right. So, Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez over Chelsea Green and Sonya Deville. And they did a four-way yesterday to determine who is going to be the next person to get destroyed by Gunther for the Intercontinental Championship. Madcap Moss defeats Rey Mysterio, Karrion Kross, and Santos Escobar. Now, yeah, you want to use babyface against the evil Gunther. We respect Gunther, but as far as the character Gunther, he is the evil Gunther. He is still, you know, foreign. for United States. So the best they came up with was babyface Madcap Moss. Obviously, they don't want to do anything with Dom and Ray as of yet to set up WrestleMania. You know, we had the NASCAR little incident and Christmas time and Thanksgiving, but they want to hold off on that a little while. Gunther versus Karrion Kross would have been very intriguing, but Santos Escobar versus Gunther would have been very intriguing, but since this is for SmackDown next week and not Elimination Chamber, they just wanted a real good baby face to get destroyed by Gunther. So Madcap Moss wins it. You know, I mean, I don't know. I honestly, like, I understand why. I thought maybe Ray gets it, but then I feel if Dom doesn't get involved next week, it's kind of like, eh. But, yeah, so Gunther and Madcap Moss next week. You know, I'm willing to give it a shot. You know, it's just a match. You know, we don't have to get, like, butthurt about it. But, you know, I just, when I hear Gunther, put it this way. When I hear Gunther versus Madcap Moss, I want to see Gunther chop the fuck out of this guy. You know, like I want to just see Gunther destroy people. You know, like, I don't want to see Madcap Moss beat him. How many of you out there truly want to see Madcap Moss take the Intercontinental Championship from Gunther? I don't think, maybe if Emma's tuning in, she'd probably be the only one that would want to see him win. I don't think anybody wants to see him win. So, all right, very quickly, yesterday we had Rampage results. Jon Moxley, Wheeler Yuta, and Claudio Castagnoli over Kip Sabian, the Butcher, and the Blade. Ruby Soho over Marina Shafir, and they furthered that storyline with Saraya and Toni Storm, you know, trying to go after Ruby Soho. Britt Baker, you know, the Unholy Alliance, that appears to be happening. Jungle Boy over Ryan Nemeth. Orange Cassidy retaining the All-Atlantic Championship over Lee Moriarty. The fans that were there live Wednesday did not get to see that interview with Mark Briscoe. That was pre-recorded and it only aired for everybody live on Friday, which was fine. It wasn't a big deal. Dustin Rhodes, I don't know what they're trying to do there. You know, they're trying to get him involved with some of these storylines. You know, you almost ask yourself, are they putting Dustin Rhodes a little bit more on TV because Cody Rhodes is back and he's getting so much play into WrestleMania? And since Cody will bring up his brother in passing and cutting promos, that, you know, let's get a little bit of mileage out of Dustin. That's what it kind of feels to me. You know, plus, you know, the fact that we don't know if he's going to re-sign with AEW. So it could be like, hey, let's get a little mileage before he's gone. Be really interesting to see if Dustin Rhodes, see, I don't know if he would go back to WWE unless he felt that his in-ring career was pretty much done. You know, Dustin, you know, a couple of years ago still felt that he had a lot in the tank. Hey, look, his match with Cody in AEW, you know, was it the greatest in-ring technical, you know, no, but the story that it told, in combination with the wrestling itself, in combination with the blood, in combination, made it one of their top matches of all time. 1 second. You'll see why. You won't hear it, though. I'm allergic to work. That's like the fifth time in 26 years that I've sneezed live on camera. Yeah, I don't ever sneeze live on camera. I got to put an air filter in this room. It's like kind of dusty in here. So, Dustin, Dusty. Hey, Dusty. All right. Very quickly, before we move on, I just want to get into this for a second. Then we'll talk about the WrestleMania Hollywood shit. I have decided, you know, we have, I got to lower the speed down when I show this. Okay. We had a conversation Wednesday about Jon Moxley blading in full view in front of the cameras. I did not catch Konosuke Takeshita doing what he did on Wednesday as well. I got the footage. I'm going to show it to you now. And I have come to a conclusion. I've come to a conclusion. AEW does not have a blading problem. They don't have an obsession with blood. We don't see people gushing every single week. We do see blood more on television than we have with other promotions in recent history. ECW, when I go back and I look at the episodes, you didn't necessarily have blood every single week, but a lot of weeks it was highlights of house shows, you know, that they were recording for home video release. And it would be blood and a lot of violence. And that's okay. And AEW does not have a blading problem. Their problem is a production problem. Their entire problem is production. And the thing is this, and we've joked about certain elements of this before. Whoever is working behind the scenes, I don't care if it's somebody that the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega break bread with every week. I don't care if somebody is there, you know, to meet a quota. I don't care if somebody is there because they saw something they weren't supposed to and like, okay, you can work production. Whoever is responsible for taking the camera and zooming in, not just the cameraman at ringside, because there's no robotic camera in the arena that the robot, let me zoom in, oh, let me zoom in. Some jackass with a fucking camera is looking at Moxley, sees that he's got a blade out. Now, it's up to the production crew in the back to say, camera six, camera six. Go to camera six. Go pen the crowd. Why am I using that accent? I don't know. Go pen the crowd. Hey, what are you fucking stupid? He's blading. Go fucking pen the crowd. Go zoom on a girl's chits. You know, go zoom on, you know. Whoever is responsible behind the camera for zooming in, fire that motherfucker. Let him record fucking dark. Let him record something else. Just let him sit in the parking lot and count, you know, record like all the little bugs that are walking by. Fire these motherfuckers. It keeps happening over and over and over. I'll tell you something else that's kind of funny. Tell you something else that's funny. I'm not trying to cause controversy. When was the last time you ever saw Hangman Page blading on camera? When was the last time you ever saw Kenny Omega blading on camera? When was the last time you saw some other wrestlers out there blading on camera? You ever notice that, you know, certain people specifically, repeatedly, not only do they catch it, they fucking zoom in on it. So just because some of your favorites might be some of my favorites, doesn't mean it's some of their favorites in the back as well. So how do you deal with this, okay? John Moxley is not stupid. I don't believe John Moxley is lazy. John Moxley, Konosuke, Takeshka, and anyone else, if they're going to blade in a match, MJF, when was the last time you saw MJF blade on TV? When was the last time you saw Bryan Danielson actually blading on TV? You don't. You don't. You know why? You know why? Not everybody rolls under the ring. If you're in the middle of the ring, you get hit with a chair. You don't just like, oh, let me start rolling out the ring, put my head under the apron so nobody could see that I'm blading. You know, you don't just go upside down and lay down like this and, you know, you do it. What they do is what Moxley needs to start doing and what Takeshka needs to start doing. There's no language barrier. There's no language barrier. Don't give me a language barrier with Takeshka. If Takeshka's good at blade, he knows he's going to get an ass-kicking from MJF after the match is over. MJF knows it. Takeshka knows it. The referee knows it. Everyone else knows it. Somebody needs to go to production and say, listen, after the match is over, MJF is going to attack Takeshka. He's going to blade. The referee is going to hand him the blade. So when you see the attack happen, you know, focus on MJF. focus on the crowd. Go to a different camera while it happens. When I was in ECW shows, when I even going back to the mid-80s, when I went to Madison Square Garden over and over and over again, when I went into little rinky-dink buildings like the Ridgewood Grove Arena, snooker would blade all the time. And snooker, I got to take my hat and my glasses off for this, snooker would just, as soon as he would get hit, he would like hold his face, but he would go like this. Like, just like that. And you feel like he's like trying to like, he just got hit in the face, but he does it so fucking fast that he doesn't go like, snooker gets hit. He doesn't like, was he a fucking tortoise? Do it quick. If you know that the cameramen are being irresponsible, if you know that the production truck people are so brain dead that they can't fucking switch to another camera, you have to take it upon yourself to be more discreet. Here's a couple of examples. Okay? This was not too long ago. Yeah, look at Moxley. Oh, yeah, yeah. Right in the corner. Look. Yeah. Just keep it. I mean, why do you keep the camera on him? This one is even better. Because Moxley peeks up and he probably sees the camera right over his face. And he's like, he sees the red light. Look. You could see him look up and he sees the red light. He's like, fuck. What are these fucking people stupid? Look, he's like, oh, you fucking kidding me? He's like, oh, shit. Here's Monday. Watch the referee. Okay. Here, look, Takeshka, I got something for you. Don't show anyone. That's my phone number. That's my room number. That's my house key. And then look, afterwards, watch the referee. This is the fucking cameras doing this. Watch the referee. Look. No, I don't swing that way. Here's your key back. You know, I like my M&Ms without peanuts. I mean, the fuck you do that? Takeshka, Moxley, and anyone else, they need to take a step back and say, these motherfuckers they got in production are stupid. They are stupid. So Takeshka's got to understand that, okay, if these motherfuckers are not going to take the camera and do something else for a split second, you can't just sit in the middle of the ring, you know, and like, and they do it so goddamn slow. I know I put it in slower motion so I don't get hit with copyright, but what the fuck is that? So AEW does not have a blading problem. I went to garden shows and they would blade all the time. Not everybody, but there'd be blood all the time. I would go to ECW shows, there'd be blood all the time. We would be sitting ringside and you would see someone do it. The difference was in the 80s and the 90s, we did not have camera phones with video. And camcorders at that time, with all due respect, I mean, this would be like a Sony, a Sharp view cam. You'd be like this. You couldn't sneak that into the building. A Sharp view cam or something. Camcorders back in the 80s, they were like this. So you couldn't snap video. And even if you tried to snap a 110 photo of somebody blading, it's the still shot. So they'd be like this. Nobody fucking cared. We knew what it was. We just enjoyed what we were watching. But like I said on Wednesday, it's like a magician who pulls a fucking rabbit out of the hat. And then the camera actually sees like somehow, or better yet, like somebody gets sawed in half or somebody disappears in the box. And the cameraman goes, go to do the side. And you see the person walking out the back of the box. This is a production issue. This is not a wrestler issue. There's nothing wrong with Moxley. There's nothing wrong with Takeshka. There's nothing wrong with any of these wrestlers. These production people are just awful. And what Moxley needs to start doing and Takeshka needs to do and anyone else, even a fucking referee needs to do this. They need to start realizing that the camera may be on me at all times. So if I'm going to blade, I best damn better figure out before the match even happens, how am I going to do this if the camera is zooming on me? I don't just lay there and go, No, you got to be a little more discreet about it. Period. That's it. The wrestlers, I truly believe they give a shit. They care about what they do. They care about their own performances. But if the wrestlers are just going to stay there and be like, well, you're fucking stupid enough to put a camera on me? No problem. I'm going to be stupid enough to fucking do it right in front of everybody's eyes. You know, it's no excuse for it. It's production. It's production. I actually tweeted this yesterday. After about 15 minutes, nobody gave a shit. I deleted it. I said, nah, I'd rather have a conversation with all of you here. Not even bright on social media. It's got to be cake and ice cream or nothing. If I would have wrote, wow, Takeshi got an ass kicking. That was amazing. He bled. He fucking looked great. And get 900,000 likes. You show the footage. It's not worth it. All right. Couple of injury updates. Yesterday, after SmackDown went off the air, Bray Wyatt once again beat LA Knight in a no disqualification match. It's funny. Some news sites are reporting that the match was much better than the Mountain Dew Pitch Black match. Somebody recorded the footage from yesterday. Let me just put it this way. If you take a leak and you're one that actually washes their hands afterwards, by the time you dried your hands and you left the room, the match was over. Like if you're one of those that just pees and just flushes and leaves the room, yeah, then the match probably still had a couple of moments left in it, like this. Now, Bray Wyatt is injured, and I wanted to show you the injury. Believe it or not, we actually showed this like a month ago, but it's still in bad shape. Now, last week, Dijak, in his match with, people with road rage. That's when, whenever they gave me the finger, that's what I always wanted to do with it. I always wanted to take that middle finger. You take that, yeah, give me the middle finger again, and you're going to be eating it. That's what you always want to do with someone that gives you the finger, right? You want to just grab that middle finger and turn it sideways. Turn that son of a bitch sideways. Well, that's Dijak's injury. Thank God he doesn't need to get surgery. It's dislocated. So he posted that last week. Well, Bray Wyatt goes to Dijak. He's like, oh, yeah, I'll see yours and I'll raise it. That is Bray Wyatt's finger. Well, you got little fat fingers. Seriously. It's like almost the size of some like internet trolls' penises. That's Bray Wyatt's. Now they're swollen. Now, just to be real for a minute, his hand is extremely swollen. So that is why his fingers are like this little piggy went to the market. This little piggy also went to the market. This little piggy didn't stay home. He went to the market. They all looked. So his finger is really fucked up. So he puts, like, move, Bianca. No, shout out. Roger Rubio, seller, 2 years, channel member. Thank you, Roger. Much love. Thank you for always supporting what we do here, Patreon, my stuff, Kev stuff. You know, pretty awesome. Yeah, it's really appreciated. I don't want to go any further, but thank you. Thank you. So with Bray Wyatt, he tapes his fingers up. And that's why with the mandible claw thing, believe it or not, he probably is in less pain when he's got his fingers taped up. Now, Dijak's type of offense, Dijak doesn't have two-minute matches unless he faces Dante Chen every week on NXT. So Dijak, they have to give him a little bit more time to heal. So, yeah. This little piggy went to Texas Roadhouse before he went home. This little piggy ate the onion loaf. Those are chunky fingers, man. All right. We got to talk a little bit about Seth Rollins. Oh, another injury update. JD McDonagh. Detached retina. Detached retina. He got into a Ilya Dragunov at the recent NXT house show. He will be out of action for about 2 weeks. So we send our best wishes to JD McDonagh as well. That's the look my wife has when I get out of the shower. And that's actually not a good look. All right. Before we talk about Rollins and Logan Paul, let me do the calculator. Let's and then we'll do the WrestleMania. We'll do the WrestleMania parody movies. We'll do that video, the picture montage. Okay. A lot of you out there are going to be like, DT, why do you have a camera on the screen? Let me get my note out. Hey, guys, how many of you out there saw, where did I put it? Okay. How many of you out there saw all the news sites reporting that Vince McMahon is set to get $2.5 billion if the WWE is sold? How many of you out there saw that article? People are making it a major news story. People have podcasted about it. It's a major... Oh, Dave Meltzer reports. I love Dave Meltzer. I subscribe to his newsletter. I will support him until he tells me, go fuck yourself, Don Tony. I don't give a shit about you. I take your money and I fucking wipe my ass with it. You know, Dave Meltzer is a good person. He's biased, may piss off a lot of people. Never forget the gesture he did, not only for the Conan drive, but also for Chris Candido drive back in the day. I'll never forget that. He... Class act. That's why when people support me in that way, I will always support them back. You know, but let's be honest, though. He must be giggling his ass off with all of the attention he got about that $2.5 billion thing. Okay, breaking news, my friends. Dave Meltzer knows how to use math. Okay, where did this $2.5 billion number come from? And then they also said... Triple H is set to make $700,000 and Stephanie McMahon is set to make $128 million. Do you want to know where those numbers came from and why that is wrong to an extent? Okay. We got to go on the camera. We got to go on the calculator, okay? Vince McMahon right now owns 69,157 shares of Class A common stock. That's the big stock. That's the stock that gives him 83% voting power, or just about that amount. 69,157 shares of Class A stock. That gives him the power. He also has the stock that you and I could buy, and that is 28,682,948 shares. Okay? So right now, Vince McMahon... owns 28,752,105 shares of stock. Well, right now, the stock is approximately $87 a share. So what we do is we take 2,875,105 shares. There you go. And you multiply it by $87, and it comes out to, breaking news, $2.5 billion. Friends, all you got to do is look up how many shares of stock somebody owns and multiply it by the current stock price. And that's how much money you could get. My friends, if McDonald's says... keep 10 containers of French fries, and if you go to McDonald's with for every 10 that you get a free order of fries. And someone says, DT right now could get 10 orders of fries because I got 100 empty. All Dave Meltzer did was take the number of shares everybody owns and multiply it by the current stock price. Breaking news. Dave Meltzer knows how to use a calculator. Let me explain something else. Just use any of the examples. These fucking people. I wish I could use words that in the past that I don't use anymore, the dirty words, the words that rhyme with Moloch and others. These are just dumb fucking people. And breaking news, major news, Dave Meltzer reveals that Vince McMahon could make... Dave Meltzer knows how to use a calculator. You know what the greatest part about it is? My friends, check this out. You want to know how much money Ringside News makes if the WWE is sold? Well, we take $87 a share, all right? And then we take the total number of shares of Ringside News is zero because they spend their money on comic books. And that's how much they make off the sale. Zero. A flat out zero. That dumb schmuck that's trying to sue Vince McMahon. The dumb schmuck that's trying to sue Vince McMahon. All right, that, you know, the outrageous that he allegedly, you know, he's got 111 shares. We multiply that by $87 a share. So if WWE is sold, he makes a whopping $9,657. Do you know why Dave Meltzer is wrong? You know why he's wrong? What Dave Meltzer did was he added up all the shares that the WWE execs own. And he multiplied it by $87 a share. And that's how he got that number. What if WWE sold for $10 billion? What if the stock is only valued at $8, but it sold for $10? Or it sold for $12 because there's a video library. There's the history. There's all the other assets, the other promotions that WWE owns. What if WWE is sold for $12 million? You think that goes into a lottery, a trust fund? You think they just give it to charity? You think they're going to give it to Trump 2024? No. So Vince will make $2.5 billion if the stock stays around that number. But if WWE is sold for more, he gets some of that as well. So if WWE is sold, Vince McMahon will make far more than $2.5 billion. But everybody, you know, Dave Meltzer, breaking news. Where did he get it? Look, my sources tell me. What if it sold for $500 billion? It's selling for $500 billion. That's like Dr. Evil. You know, $1 million. Okay, my friends, this was the thumbnail for today's show. That is some movie parodies from WrestleMania 21. We never forget the Pulp Fiction one with Eddie Guerrero and Booker T, The Undertaker doing Dirty Harry. Do I feel lucky? Rest in peace. Stacy Keibler, Basic Instinct. Who is going to be and what movies will they do for WrestleMania 39? And by the way, those vignettes will be starting very, very soon. I wouldn't say the Raw after the Elimination Chamber, but once we get Chamber out of the way, now you're going to start seeing some of these vignettes come out. Check it out. My friends, does anybody remember, before we get into them, I'm going to show you something. Anybody remember what that was from? We got Samoa Joe and AJ Styles. What movie parody were they doing? Shout out to the first person who gets it right. What movie parody was Samoa Joe and AJ Styles doing? Hint, Eric Young was part of it as well. Hint, Letitia Klein was part of it as well. We got one for They Live. We got one for Dumb and Dumber. Well, that's interesting. They Live? I don't know. They probably would have been wearing glasses. No, does anybody know? Yes, Rocky Red. Rocky Red. He got it. Impact Wrestling did their own movie parody of Basic Instinct. They had Eric Young, Samoa Joe, and AJ Styles and Letitia Klein. If you're over 18, just Google Letitia Klein and Howard Stern. That's all I'll say. But the movie parodies we want to talk about, though, are these, obviously. These are the movie parodies from WrestleMania 21. We had John Cena and JBL in A Few Good Men. Unfortunately, I did not have time to... JBL was great in this, man. JBL, I'm really surprised that he didn't like become a good actor back then. He did great. We had the Undertaker doing Dirty Harry, which I thought he did a great job as well. Yes?
The girls invited me to go to the Nike outlet in Flushing. I'm going to go with them.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
So So they're going to pick me up around 1, so I should be back around maybe 5.
Okay.
Is that all right?
Yeah, that's fine.
I'll see you soon.
Okay. Sorry. Real life gets in the way sometimes, everyone. She's going out shopping. I don't know if you heard that. So, all right. So anyway, let's get back to it. All right. Back to our original programming. So we got John Cena and we got JBL in A Few Good Men. We had The Undertaker doing Dirty Harry. Who could ever forget Booker T? And I tell you, Eddie Guerrero did great as John Travolta. Booker T did great also. But I don't know. Eddie Guerrero as John Travolta was fucking funny, man. They did Pulp Fiction. All right, I'm going to reveal it now. My favorite of all time is Basic Instinct. Yes, Chris Benoit was part of it. Yes, Christian was part of it. Chris Jericho was part of it. And Stacy Keibler. But what I will always remember from this, and the reason why this is my favorite one of them all from WrestleMania 21. Not necessarily Stacy Keibler, because when she moved the legs, you know, you obviously didn't see anything. We wouldn't have expected to see anything. But if you saw that movie, you know the scene. But when she did that move, when she, you know, switched her legs, Chris Jericho had this kind of like startling look on his face. But for me, my MVP of all of those vignettes back then was this guy. Show it, Christian. When she crossed the legs, Christian had this smile on his face like, yeah, baby. Yeah, baby. I couldn't stop laughing when I saw Christian's reaction to it. In fact, I still remember to this day when they showed it to the audience started laughing, hysterical. When they put the camera on him, Christian was fucking hilarious in this skit. Absolutely hilarious. All right, what about Triple H in Braveheart? That's probably the one everybody goes to. But, you know, Ric Flair don't get credit. Ric Flair kind of like got into it as well. A lot of people forget that Ric Flair was also part of that segment. Steve Austin's The Gladiator, to be honest with you, I probably found that one the least enjoyable. I don't know why. It's not because it was Steve Austin. It just felt like, yeah, it almost feels like a movie Steve Austin would have been in. So, I don't know. The Steve Austin and the Gladiator did not do much for me. The Taxi Driver segments were funny, but I don't think it was all that great. What WWE did at that time is they had numerous WWE stars doing Robert De Niro. You know, you looking at me? Are you looking at me? Do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? So to me, Batista did a great job. The Big Show also did a great job. So they were doing Taxi Driver. What about when Harry met Sally? Christy Hemme was doing the orgasm. And Kurt Angle is like, tap, 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 tap. I think he was eating a pastrami sandwich. That looks like pastrami, doesn't it? It looks like pastrami on rye. I don't know if he put mustard on it. It looks like a pastrami sandwich. But that was funny as well. And who could ever forget Eugene doing Forrest Gump, accidentally punching the girl in the mouth. William Regal makes a cameo at the very end of it, but I didn't have time to get the screenshot. So those were your WrestleMania 21 movie parodies. Which one was your favorite? Which one was your least favorite? For me, Basic Instinct was probably my favorite. Pulp Fiction, a close second. Braveheart was okay. You know, I think a lot of us had a lot of anger towards Triple H back then because of everything being a Triple H show. But, you know, we were warming up on him a little bit. Kurt Angle was funny as well because Kurt Angle just with the taps and Christy Hemme and everybody in the diner is just looking at her. So, all right, Terry Donahue says Booker T was the standout. Booker T was fucking funny, man. Eddie Guerrero's John Travolta made me laugh, too. I mean, that is a close second. Run DMG hated Eugene. Eugene fit it so perfect. He fit so perfect because he really didn't even have to change his character, you know? I mean, that was a good segment as well. But Pulp Fiction, okay, we got some choice for Pulp Fiction. Yeah, some people are showing love for you. I don't really think there was a bad one. Just the one with Steve Austin, I just was a little disinterested in. So now, who do you think and what movies should WWE parody this time around? You know, we got, what, 18 years? And let's also remember this. You don't have to use a movie that came out after WrestleMania 21. There were several other movies back then that maybe should have gotten attention. So, you know, you got to think to yourself, like, what movies should they parody? Oh, Franklin says Bray Wyatt is the Joker. That's awesome. Dark Knight is good. Godfather, I think, would be kind of tough because it's so, you know, like, old. I would have loved the Goodfellas one, but I don't see any characters that would have worked with. Like, if Tony D'Angelo was on the main roster, I could see something. Problem with Goodfellas is all the great scenes were violent. I don't think they're going to go that far. John Wick, I don't know about that. That's not a bad one. Top Gun, Maverick, Cody in Top Gun, it's not a bad one. Cody is a Homelander. So, you know, now you got to start thinking about, like, really, really good movies. But they don't necessarily have to be all that great. You got to think of iconic movies. Movies that everybody has seen. You know, would they do something with The Hobbit? I don't know. Just,
my precious!
They could do that with a championship. Maybe Charlotte could, like, you know, do something with it. Could you imagine if she dresses up like Gollop? Is that the name of I don't know. I make the impersonation. I don't pay attention to the names. But, oh, yeah, Gunther should do something. Gunther absolutely should do something. Would you have Gunther do something comedic? I don't know. I don't think I would want to see Gunther break character at all. Do you think they would do something with Apollo and Rocky? Could they possibly do something there? Pirates of the Caribbean, that's not a bad one. yeah, Gruss, you're onto something. They got to do something with Dominic Mysterio and something with the Hood. You know, something with jail, you know. I'm trying to think, was there any really good scenes in Shawshank Redemption? That, you know, because they got to be funny. You know, like the scenes got to have some comedy to it more than anything else. You know, even like the Braveheart one, you know, when Ric Flair came out and started, you know, like walking by and he's like, you know, Mel Gibson, woo! You know, like it lightened up the mood. So, yeah, Dominic Mysterio's got to do something thuggery. So, like Boys in the Hood or Bad Boys or something like that. Oh, maybe the Street Profits and Bad Boys. Otis has got to do something. Oh, my God. Oh, God. Magic Mike, Otis, they would never do it. What if they? I don't think they would ever dare use Magic Mike. That would be fucking hilarious, though. Otis, Magic Mike, holy shit. So you know what? We'll continue this conversation next week. I want everybody, look, and this is, yeah, to be a little interactive, but I want everybody that would like to be part of it in the comment section. Throw some ideas. Pick a wrestler or two. Pick a movie that you think that would turn into a great movie parody. And we'll throw the best ones out there next week. We'll read them out there. Maybe we'll turn it into a little contest. You know? Maybe we'll turn it into a contest. Let everybody vote on their favorites out of it. So, you know, I think this is, seriously, I know we try to be interactive at times, but I think this might be one of the most fun interactions that we could do. Just to think about movies. And remember, you know, Dirty Harry came out, what, 1970, early 70s. I don't remember what year, 74 or 71, early 70s. And they did a spoof of it. You know, WrestleMania 21 was 18 years ago. It wasn't that long ago. It was 2005. And then look at Taxi Driver. Taxi Driver, I know, came out in like 75, 76. So they definitely could use movies from the 80s. Definitely could use movies from the 80s or even the 70s. So don't think that you only have to use movies that have come out in the last 20 years. You could go further back. But, yeah, Drew McIntyre. Yeah, Braveheart with Drew McIntyre is not a bad one. But don't. What about like that 300 movie? Maybe you do something with Drew with 300. You know, you almost feel like the Viking Raiders have to do something. But do you go comedy? I don't know if that's smart. They're doing these vignettes to try to make the Viking Raiders look vicious like animals. They want you to forget about all the segments with them and the Street Profits playing golf, you know, having girls like hit on one of them. They want you to forget about that. So the Viking Raiders, as much as they would be great in some of these skits, I don't know if that would be a good idea. What about the women? How's about some women ideas? Like, we got to think of some, you know, females. Could they do, what about Piper Nevin and Flashdance? You know, let her just sit on the chair and go like this. If I do that too hard, my hat flies away. I don't know. I got to think about it. But post your ideas later in the comment section, and we'll get into some of the better ones next week. So, with that said, I think we are done. Oh, okay, we are almost done. Seth Rollins, Logan Paul, Pat McAfee, Undertaker, Bray Wyatt. Okay, remember this? Raw 30th anniversary? I don't know, man. I don't know. He's got his dead man shows that he does, these one-man shows. He did an interview with Sportsnet, The Undertaker. And they asked him, what did you tell Bray Wyatt in his ear? And now, obviously, Undertaker is summarizing it. He didn't say all of this. But Undertaker tells Sportsnet what he told Bray Wyatt in his ear is that his phone is always on, that if he needs to talk to Undertaker about things or to run some ideas by him, he said, that's cool. And he said he would be glad to share his experiences with Bray Wyatt and hopefully shine some light on questions that he has moving forward. So probably not exactly what a lot of us were expecting, but that's pretty cool, man. Him telling Bray Wyatt, look, my phone is always on. You have any ideas you want to run something by me? You have some, you know, don't ever hesitate to call. You know, that is awesome. To have Undertaker on standby, like, you know, Taker, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? Deadman, what do you think about this? I think that's pretty fucking cool. And I hope Bray Wyatt takes him on his offer. Seriously. So that's what Undertaker revealed. Now, Seth Rollins on Pat McAfee's show, okay? This was a couple of days ago. And Seth Rollins, the topic of Logan Paul came up. And it's very interesting what Seth Rollins said. This is to set up WrestleMania. I have a quote in front of me. About Logan Paul, Seth Rollins tells Pat McAfee, quote, he doesn't care about nothing but himself. I can respect the hustle. I really do, because it takes hustle to get where he is at and to get the opportunities he's got. But at the end of the day, it's about passion. No one is going to suit up and play in the NFL because they are a social media superstar, right? They're going to get creamed. He's going to step into my world, and he's going to get creamed. If you want to contribute and give back to our industry, if you're a fan of it and you love it, right, Pat? You're a fan of it. You love it. You give back to it. You talk about it any chance you get, and you put it over. That's not him, dude. That's not him. He's in it for himself. He's in it for his own gain. So I don't want you in my business if you're going to leech off of it and you're going to take from it. Great if you're going to help out. Great if you're going to make everything as good as you can. But you're going to come and do it just for you? Look, I can only judge what he has done in the past. His own history, that's foretelling in the future. And that's why I don't like this guy. That's why I don't dig this guy. And he's going to go rub it in on social media. He's going to talk his talk. But he doesn't want to say nothing to my face. And it's the line that everybody is talking about is, this guy doesn't care about anything but himself. He's polarizing. He's not my cup of tea. I'll be honest with you. If Seth Rollins made that quote a year ago, a year and a half ago, I think it would have fit that much more. But Logan Paul has now had a couple of matches under his belt. Let me put it this way. Would Seth Rollins say that about Bad Bunny? Seriously. I mean, Bad Bunny has made, what, two appearances? I mean, I'm talking about in the ring. Royal Rumble, WrestleMania. And I, look, Bad Bunny did a spectacular job. I would love to see Bad Bunny back again. But this seems forced to set up anger for WrestleMania 39. That Seth Rollins, respecting this industry, calling Logan Paul a social media, you know, personality, was trying to leech for personal gain. That's the storyline for WrestleMania 39. And then Logan Paul, who will probably lose, will earn Seth Rollins' respect because it will not be a walk in the park for Seth Rollins. Problem is, Logan Paul didn't just hang out by his pool and jump off the diving board and punch air or do moves and just learn that way. Logan Paul has been working his ass off to pick up the wrestling. And the guy is not packed it in the ring. The guy has put out performance. You would have thought Logan Paul has been training for a year or two. Like, just straight up training all the time. The quality of the matches that he has had have been top tier. So Seth Rollins, you know, going the route he did, I don't want to criticize it, but it seems a little bit outdated because Logan Paul, when asked by WWE, has stepped up every single time. Stepped up every single time. And Logan Paul picked up on it like this. You know, I was never a fan of Logan Paul. I wanted to take that Pokemon card and make him eat it. Put some ketchup on it and make him eat it. And then let him shit it out. Then make him eat it again. But Logan Paul, you could tell, no matter how much of an asshole he may come across to you, he respects wrestling. He respects what the wrestlers do. Guy could have taken many, many shortcuts, could do gaga matches, and people would be fine with it. But the guy has put, I mean, he hung with Roman Reigns in Saudi Arabia. And you just go back and you watch that match, you would have thought Logan Paul has been on that roster for a couple of years and is just a regular full-timer. You don't pick it up that fast unless you really care. You know, somebody could pick up a baseball bat and suddenly start hitting the ball like crazy. Somebody could just be a natural and just pick up something out of nowhere. But there's a difference between picking it up because, you know, you just can or because you care. And it feels like that Logan Paul cares enough about wrestling that he wants everything, even if he wants to do it so he can do selfies and show it off. So what? So what? When somebody hits a home run and they toss the bat, when somebody spikes the football when they hit a touchdown, you know, that motherfucker got it done. So, you know, they put it this way, Logan Paul doesn't spike the football after dropping the pass. You know what I mean? Logan Paul doesn't do the bat flip when he fouls the ball off. Logan Paul, if he does great, yeah, you should be able to show it off a little bit. Nothing wrong with bragging about success. So this is to set up WrestleMania. That's to set up WrestleMania. It's going to happen. And now, especially yesterday, I don't know if you saw it, but we had local ads for upcoming WWE Brooklyn. I think Seth Rollins and Austin Theory might be fighting again. I don't know if it's a dark match, but they were advertising it yesterday. And now all you see with Austin Theory on local ads is him holding the belt up, yelling, "The champ is here!" So he's in full Cena mode right now. This Cena versus Austin Theory is going to happen at Mania. It's definitely happening at Mania. So when you start really running down this card and the rumored matches, there's not a bad match. There is not a bad match. And no, I don't believe Rousey and Baszler versus Damage Control is being considered. This is just somebody trying to put together a match that no one else has talked about. And in this way, when it doesn't happen, just like the Gunther-Brock Lesnar. Just like Gunther and Brock Lesnar. Fantasy match for a lot of us. wasn't happening at WrestleMania. And the thing about it was, because it was such a fantasy match, you had a few people out there that said, oh, my sources tell me that WWE is considering Gunther versus Brock Lesnar. Oh, breaking news, so-and-so reveals. And you know it's not happening. And then when now it looks like, oh, it appears to be Drew versus Sheamus versus Gunther at WrestleMania. Oh, my sources tell me that WWE is no longer considering. That's what they do. That's what they do. So, all right, before we get out of here, Guardian of Chaos, holding down the fort as always, my friend. Summer DT show live on location or meet and greet this summer. Bobby V's or Mohegan Sun? I like Bobby V's. Mohegan Sun's a little far away. You know, to do something like that, it's a little far away. I think it would be kind of, tell you the truth, man, I really wanted to go to Brooklyn on Monday. Is it Monday? Brooklyn is on Monday, right? I really wanted to go to Brooklyn on Monday. But, you know, unfortunately, by the time I get out of work and, you know, doing the show here, but I think, you know, like an upcoming AEW event. So the last time AEW was going to be at Arthur Ashe, I contacted AEW about trying to get a block of tickets, like 50 tickets. And I basically got brushed off and said, oh, contact Ticketmaster. And I'm like, okay, you know, fine. You know, even though they have, you know, for group purchases or if you have a group of party or this and that, you know, and I was like, okay, fuck you, you know. And then we wanted to look into getting a skybox with a bunch of people, and that fell through. So I personally think, you know, maybe even like an autograph signing, maybe one of the conventions that they do. I mean, we went to the big event a couple of years ago. That was great, man. I got to meet so many people here at the big event, and we hung out. We were hanging out with various wrestlers, and that was a lot of fun. That was the night that The Undertaker was there as well. And the reason why I think that's better is because not only do we hang out, but you walk around, you get to meet some of your wrestlers that you like today, wrestlers from history, take some pictures, hang out, eat a little food, maybe buy a couple of tapes. You know, Feinstein always has a table there. He's always got people there. I think probably, you know, maybe something like that would be even better because it's not just, you know, a meet and greet, but there's other reasons to go also. You get to, you know, meet some wrestlers as well. So I think that would be great. But, hey, listen, man, back, it's got to be almost 20 years ago. We did, oh, God, what was it? The Shaolin Wrecking Crew, was that the guy's name? An indie wrestler, I'll tell you all a quick story and we'll get out of here. An indie wrestler had health issues. I just keep thinking Shaolin of the Shaolin Wrecking Crew. I can't remember the wrestler's name, but it was an indie wrestler in the Northeast. And we wanted to raise money for him. So what happened was we decided we were going to do a barbecue at Flushing Meadow Park in Queens, New York, which is pretty close to where AEW and Arthur Ashe is. We were going to do a barbecue, and believe it or not, there's still, if you go on Wayback Machine, you could still see the articles from then. But long story short, we were going to have a barbecue, and we were going to do raffles, and we were going to have everybody come down and meet and greet and this and that. And a whole bunch of people showed up. Unfortunately, the weather was bad that day. It didn't do great. And, but one of the coolest things about it was we see somebody, like big wrestler, walking like from a long distance away. And we were like, who is that? And it was Jimmy Valiant, who, you know, did a lot of stand-up comedy and stuff like that. Jimmy Valiant, and was it Evan Ginsberg? I don't know if it was Evan Ginsberg, but Jimmy Valiant shows up. Had no idea. He comes out and he's doing stand up and we're having a barbecue and we're doing this and that. And I can't remember his name, but it was, I don't know if it was Magic or the Shaolin Wrecking Crew, but I got to look it up. But we, and Frank Goodman, Mass Maniac, you know, helped set this up as well. So a whole bunch of indie wrestlers, a lot of fans, people from the hotlines, you know, we all got together at Flushing Meadow Park. We had hamburgers, hot dogs. People drank beers, wine coolers, soda. It was a lot of fun. Johnny Valiant. It was a lot of fun, man. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Yeah, so I'll look it up. I'll let everybody know maybe tomorrow when we do the sit-down. Because remember, tomorrow night, 8:05, the sit-down, I will be here. So any questions, any comments that you want to share with the world, you could join me Sunday night live at 8:05 p.m. We'll go about 60 to 75 minutes. We will talk strictly whatever is on your mind. I show up with no topics. I leave with a boatload. So everyone, it's been fun. I'm going to get out of here. And if you enjoyed tonight's show, you know what to do. You know what to do. If you know anyone else out there that you think might like the channel, let them know about it. Thank you to everyone for all of the response and the feedback from Forbidden Door 4 with Misha Montana. We definitely will bring her on again in the future, you know, when the time is right to just talk a little bit. A lot of people are telling me, yeah, bring Matt Riddle on. But remember, there's some sets of circumstances that I have to really, you know, get cleared before I even thought about doing something like that. But we'll see what happens. But everyone, much love. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Hopefully I could see you tomorrow night on a sit-down. If not, I'll see you Monday after Raw. One or two surprises will be going down on Raw. That's all I'll say. Be well.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.